we try to continue the Lord's work. And I beg an interest in your prayers this afternoon as we try to bring this message. Over the last several weeks, or times that I've tried to stand before the congregation here, I've tried to speak about studying. I think the first series was just kind of on general, just kind of the broader topics of what study is in the Bible. We could refer to, we need to be studied to answer, the righteous study at the answer. Also, the wicked are the ones who study destruction against you and me. But over in 2 Timothy chapter 2:15 is where I would like to end up this on this kind of series of topics. With 2 Timothy 2:15, it's a verse we know very well. It's a verse we sing the scripture song to. And if you haven't had it memorized yet, you need to memorize it, because it's something to always keep ourselves, it's something we need to always keep in memory. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, there's probably five different subjects in that one verse alone, but I'm going to pick out one phrase out of that verse and understand that when we do our studying and when we do our preaching and when we do our ministering out in the world today, we need to make sure that we are being approved unto God. Our study and our ministry needs to be approved unto God. We heard about a little bit about this morning, and I was looking at Dad as he was going through it. He didn't know, so I told him after the sermon. I was scared he was about to preach my sermon for me, and so then I was going to be worried I was going to have to come up with a new subject for this afternoon. But here in 2 Timothy, it says for us to study to show thyself approved unto God. When we do that, we then are the Apostle Paul, when writing Timothy here, would tell us is that it's a workman who does not need to be ashamed. It's a workman that who's not ashamed of God, because what we're doing is our studying is constantly focused on God, or it is approved unto God. Therefore, your work should be in such that it's not ashamed. I do a lot of things, probably day-to-day tasks that I'm kind of ashamed of, but my work toward the Lord should not be ashamed. I should not be ashamed in that work. I should not be ashamed in my study to Him. And there probably is a great sermon in the latter portion of this verse, rightly dividing the word of truth. And there is a whole sermon wrapped up in that verse alone. We heard a lot about it this morning, about how we do need to rightly divide the word, because there are false teachers out there. There's ones who would pervert the gospel. They would rest the words, and you hadn't gotten to you hadn't gotten to chapter 3 yet, so we'll get there eventually. But there are those out there that would rest the word of God, twist it around, and all that study that we do in those kinds of things, those are not approved unto God when we do those kinds of things. You think about today. I had a great opportunity to be over there with Brother Ernie Stump, and Brother Ernie was preaching a sermon on faith yesterday, and he was speaking. He grabbed a couple of verses that were out of the New Testament, and he mentioned back 50 years ago, back when he grew up. He didn't grow up in the Primitive Baptist faith. He actually grew up in another faith and order. And he said, so he was there talking to some of his ministers 50 years ago. Now, this is not among the Primitive Baptists. And he actually went up to some of the ministers in this other faith and order. And he said, they told him point blank, you can't preach that here. Anytime I hear those types of statements, well, then what you're really telling us is that we can't preach the Bible, okay? And I like to think here amongst the old Baptists, we like to preach the Bible. We like to preach all of the Bible and in the context in which it's written, because we try our best to rightly divide the word of truth. Why? Because that is approved unto God. Amen. That's approved unto God. So we have to be very careful. You know, here I think it's very appropriate to bring this verse out. The Apostle Paul, when writing to Timothy in this second epistle here, he writes in chapter 1 and verse 8, he begins this second epistle this way in verse 8 in chapter 1, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." Why? Because we ourselves have to be warned day to day, every hour, every minute, that we ourselves can get caught up in a situation or a circumstance where we are ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. You know, I want to, you know, we've already brought it about this morning. We heard about the subpoenas that were out there in Texas, in Houston, Texas, about those that were the mayor out there wanting the sermons of the preachers. I'll tell you right now that when we allow ourselves to give in to those kinds of things, then what we're really saying is we're ashamed of our Lord. We have to stand on the Word of God. We have to stand on His promises. And when you get up here and you're preaching and you're teaching and your study should reflect such that you are not ashamed of your Lord. Yes, there are hard subjects. I mentioned this out there at Ebenezer yesterday. There are hard subjects in the Bible that we have to, as ministers, we have to preach. Why? Because God's Word commands that we preach them and that we teach them. Yes, it makes us uncomfortable, but God's Word was not left here as a record of what He did for us to make us all feel all cozy and fuzzy inside. Sometimes it makes us a little uncomfortable. Sometimes it steps on our toes. And our study should be of such that it has to be that way sometimes. And that is approved unto God. So it says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." And what I grab out of this is if your study is approved unto God, and if you're not ashamed of God's word, then what Paul has already told us here is that when you do these things, you're going to have afflictions. You're going to have people throw rocks at you because you're preaching the truth of God's word. Amen. But regardless of all that, our study is supposed to be approved unto who? Unto God. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling? We could go on down and read the rest of those scriptures there, but I mean, very great promises. But our call is to not be ashamed. And sometimes our study can reflect of or can give us the, I don't know if the illusion, I don't know what verb I need to use here. But sometimes we actually choose not to study certain scriptures in the Bible. And we actually choose not to take up subjects in the Bible. But that's not, you know, we do that from time to time. And I really just don't know any other way to say it other than it's wrong. We avoid certain things. We avoid controversial scriptures. Because we're, you know, we might be scared. Ministers, you know, ministers are men too. They have a fleshly, carnal nature. And they might be ashamed. Why may they be ashamed? Well, they may have a brother or a sister in the congregation that may have been had an issue or a problem. And, you know, we don't want to give that member or that person the idea that we're preaching just at them or something like that. So we have to be very careful. That is one reason why in Ecclesiastes they tell us that the preacher out over there sought out acceptable words. We have to be careful in our preaching and the manner in which we deliver it. And that's why our study should, if it's approved unto God, will allow us to do those things. It will allow us to preach the hard subjects, but also it will allow us to preach it in such a way that will be God-honoring and not in a manner that is just like I'm preaching at you, okay? I feel like I can say it that way. So one of the things that I want us to be very careful of, and I'm going to go ahead and start out with in thinking about this studying to be approved unto God, we have to be very careful. And the thing we have to be very careful is that, say we do fall into the situation that I just came in, that I just stated. And by the way, I guess I need to, I don't know if y'all started the tape or not, but let's see if I can go ahead and get this hooked up. For those that are on the tape listening, I forgot to put on the little headset, but now we're getting that situated. All right, here we go. So as we sit here and look at through some of the things that we have to look at when it comes to our studying be approved unto God, I guess the first thing that I want us to look at is I want to look at 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we have here an account where the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth in the second letter. And in chapter 10, he goes on in verse 10, he says, so 2 Corinthians 10:10, he says, "For his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak. and his speech contemptible. Let such an one think this, that as such as we are in word by letters, when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Now, it'd probably take me, I actually spoke on that, this set of scriptures back a couple, maybe a month or two ago, and that we can actually fall into this thing to where we're comparing ourselves among ourselves, and really what we're doing, or we're comparing other people based on the accounts of other folks when we're doing this thing, and we're not, what we're doing then is we're not being approved unto God. We're sitting here trying to make our little judges of our own selves here, and we're comparing and doing all these things, and we're bouncing it based, we're basing it based on worldly things, on worldly emotions, okay? So we're, our countenance is not as such that is approved unto God, but we're basing it on something that's approved among men. So the Apostle Paul saying, you know, the Apostle Paul is telling the people here at Corinth that his countenance was not something that was comely, okay? It was not something that was great or nice to look upon, okay? But yet, so the people at Corinth were actually chastising him for his appearance and his statement to them in the latter portion of this chapter goes something like this. He says, "But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in other man's line of things made ready in our to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord, for not that he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." Our goal in our studying to be approved unto God is not to worry, you know, we our times can get very very fixed on maybe preachers or ministers that come before us, and we get to thinking, well, oh, they're wearing a nice suit, or oh, they have excellency of speech, or oh, they have something that is very worldly about them that is very pleasing to the flesh. But the Apostle Paul is stating here is that all of those things are things that make him commendable to himself and amongst men. But he says that person's not approved. It's one whose message is approved by God. That is the person who is approved. So that's what he's saying here, is that our messages, and when we come preaching, it's not that he that commended himself is approved. You know, us ministers, we're not here to be commending ourselves, and we're not here to be preaching about ourselves. We're not here to be preaching amongst men, about men, and commending ourselves. Our goal is to be commending the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the Apostle Paul's goal in telling the church at Corinth is. Don't get focused on these little bitty things like this. You need to be looking for the one that is approved by God to come before you. And now, and see, one thing that our study needs to be is that we need to be looking to ministers who are approved by God. That is one thing that we need to be aware of, that when we're listening and sitting under the ministry of the gospel of Christ, we need to be looking for ministers who are approved by God. Not by men, but by God. And we have to be careful in that. One of the things that, you know, in my experience I've sat amongst many ministers and I've listened to many sermons in my lifetime, and there are probably some that I can say that, you know, amongst the old Baptists, I really feel that I see a lot of ministers who have been approved by God to preach the word. Now, when I turn on the television and when I may visit other churches, and when I say other churches, I mean other faiths and orders in my short lifespan, it didn't really seem like they were approved by God to be preaching the gospel. And I know that's hard to say, that's hard to hear, but that's just really the truth of it. It didn't get much out of the sermon. You know, it said a few words, this, that, and the other. But one thing that we have to be looking for is, you know, in our ministers, is that they are approved by God to preach the gospel. And that is a special, special, and I'll say it again, special calling of God to be approved by Him. So, and one of the other things that we can look at is we can look in Galatians. Now that our ministry, you know, if the ministry is approved by God, we have to be very careful in our ministry, because our ministry, if we're not handled, as we heard this morning, if our message is not handled with care, and as I stated just a few moments ago, if we're seeking to preach and to please men in our ministry, then we're not going to be, the Lord's not going to bless that message, and He's not going to bless that ministry. Here the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, he was marveled because they were so soon removed from another doctrine, okay? And so when they were removed from that other doctrine, the people that came preaching to the Galatian people, they came preaching the need for circumcision, or they came preaching the need to be under the law service. So the Apostle Paul reiterates to them, he says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from this gospel in verse 6, but he finishes up in verse 10, where he starts kind of this this dialogue. He says, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. One of the things that we have to be careful of in our ministry is that we're not seeking to please men with our ministry. And I think that's what sometimes men do. They seek it for filthy lucre. They go and preach the most popular sermons. They try to draw in the big crowds. They try, you know, and we see that today. And what are they looking for? They're looking for more money in their pockets. They're looking for how they can gain wealth. They're looking for that pleasing theme to their preaching, so that it's pleasing to the ears and to the eyes and to the emotional feelings of the congregation. But yet there is there's no meat in the sermon. There is no doctrinal foundation in the sermon. It's just, and I know y'all are thinking of ministry. I'm not going to call them by name. That's not what I'm here to do this afternoon. But y'all can think of some that may be on TV and others that do that. It's all about make you feel good. It's all about pleasing unto men, and it's not about pleasing God. So much that we heard probably a couple of months ago that, you know, we're not even here in church to please God. We're here just to please ourselves. Do y'all believe that? No, I hope not. Our ministry should be such that we please God. And we have to be very careful if we seek to please men. Why? We can go back over to the Old Testament. Y'all can hold your finger here in the New Testament. You can follow with me. But 1 Samuel chapter 15, we have the account of Saul. And what did Saul do? Saul sought to please the people. That's what he did. He didn't seek to please God. He sought to please the people. So the Lord gave him a commandment. He says, Saul, I want you to go down to the Amalekites. And he says, I want you to utterly destroy it all. I want you to burn everything, destroy the cattle, every piece of it, kill all the women, children, and kill the king. Do it all. And Saul said, okay. And so then when he got down there, we'll start in verse 16. He says, then Samuel said unto Saul, Saul's coming back. And so Samuel ran out to meet him, because the Lord came unto Samuel, and Samuel heard the crying of the sheep. And here we'll read it in verse 16. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said unto me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Amen. Well, we get this idea sometimes that we make excuses. Oh, well, the Lord's going to bless me in this. The Lord's going to bless me in this matter because I did this. But that's not what God's word told you to do. You know,
Does the Lord delight in these burnt sacrifices that you think, you know, in our minds, think about it. Now, here in the context of this, he's saying, I've took the spoils, I'm going to do these burnt sacrifices of the Lord. But he says, the Lord has no delight in these burnt sacrifices. Rather, what he wants is obedience. He wants obedience from you and me. You know what he told us? He told you to study, to show thyself approved unto God. So what does that tell us today? He wants our study to be approved unto God, and he expects obedience in that study. You know, we can do many things. Our study could reflect to the pleasing ears of men. Our study could be in the vain things of this world, or too much study of it could be in the vain things of this world. And in the latter part of that verse, he says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. It says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Sometimes, you know, we'll make excuses that, oh, well, we're going over to this place over here, and, you know, we're going to be able to do all these things over here in this. Well, the Lord... I don't know. You could probably think of many scenarios, and I don't have any that are coming to my mind at this moment. But we make a lot of excuses sometimes, all at the expense of our Lord, and say, well, this is what the Lord's will. This is what the Lord's really wanting me to do. But it's taking you away from church. It's taking you away from the fellowship with the saints. It takes you into a land far away to where you didn't know where you were going. Now I understand at times, you know, I have to be careful in some of these statements, because the Bible does tell us to walk by faith and not by sight. Yeah. We have to be very careful, because sometimes we have to step out on faith. For example, I think the men, you know, Brother Sam right now in his 8th trip over there to Africa, Dad being one who's gone over there twice already, you know, going over there is a step in faith, and they were doing great work over there. Okay. I'm not talking about those kinds of things. I'm talking about excuses that, you know, I heard about some of these traveling ball teams. That's what it was. I have a coworker who has a lot of friends who do this traveling baseball thing, and they travel from here to Kentucky to Texas every weekend. They're leaving and going places, and they said, well, aren't you missing out on church? And they're like, oh, it's okay. We get a man to say a few scripture verses on every Sunday morning before the ball game starts. And that's really, when I think about it, I'm thinking about like what Saul said here. You know, that's great, but that's not the way we were called to worship.
Yeah.
We were called to worship here with the saints of God. And I'm not saying in this physical building. I'm saying we're the saints of God gathered together to worship the Lord on Sunday, because we are to keep it holy. So then in verse 23, he says this. He says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Ooh. Rebellion is as the sin. You know, when we blatantly study to please men, and when we seek to please men, the Lord refers to that as straight rebellion. And it's like witchcraft. It's deceiving. And he says, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. So one of the things that we need to gather from this is the fact that when we don't study to show ourselves approved unto God, but rather we seek to please men, things can be removed from us. The Lord can remove things. You're saying, well, what, Brother Derek? What can be removed? It could be anything. It could be your job. It could be your home. It could be your ministry. I mean, really, the list could be endless of what he could remove from us when we don't seek to please him. So we have that example in 1 Samuel of Saul, who basically was blaming the people and sought to please the people instead of doing what the Lord had asked him to do. One of the things that we need to remember in this and thinking, study to show thyself approved unto God. So we have So we have a couple of things. One, if we're seeking with our, you know, our appearance, you know, our ministers, one, when they appear to us, we need to be making sure that they are approved unto God to deliver the message. And two, we need to make sure that their messages, when they deliver them, is approved also unto God. And so, therefore, we also see that when our messages aren't approved unto God and our actions are not approved unto God, things can be removed from us. So those are the points that I wanted to make. So rather, in the latter portion of where I would like to end up this afternoon, is thinking that more along our actions and our duty and our study. In Romans 8, in verse 8, he says something like this. Paul says something like this. He says, we'll start in verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We have to be very careful about if we get into the flesh. And I can actually think on a time or two when I've actually stood before the congregation at this church. And I was upset about something. And I was in the flesh. And I got up here and I tried to preach. And the Lord did not bless that sermon. I remember it to this day. Why? Because I was up here in my flesh, preaching at the congregation, angry. Or not angry, that's probably not a good word. But I was disgruntled. I was frustrated. I was, you know, I was just not happy. Maybe I can say it that way. And when you're in that spirit, when you're in that mindset, you cannot please God. Amen. So now, when we are out in our communities, when we're at home in our families, we have to be very careful. Because as we're raising up our children, as we're trying to teach them, or as we're trying to impact our relatives, our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers, etc., we have to be very careful. Because if we're in the flesh, they're not going to hear our messages, and it's not going to please God. Sometimes we wonder, why can't we have the impact on our coworkers or our relatives or our neighbors or whoever may come in our path? Well, it's because maybe our message is not such that's pleasing to God. Maybe we're seeking our own, or we're seeking, you know, our own part deal. Maybe we're just seeking to win the argument of the day. I don't know. How many times do we find ourselves in a religious a doctrinal discussion with one of our coworkers, and instead of trying to just preach and minister to them and be nice and be in the spirit of God, that we start trying to win the argument and win the debate? The Lord's not going to bless that. I'm not a very big fan of certain things. I'm not a very big fan of some of the forums that we see on Facebook, where some of our own ministers are on there and they talk about scriptures, and it's just one big bickering session. And I'm like, what are you doing? There's no profit in that, and that's not even scriptural what you're doing. That's not pleasing to God. And your studying as such is still not pleasing to God, because you're just trying to one-up the person. I think every time I think about the one-up person, I think about the Dilbert comic about the topper. He's always walking around like, you may say something, he's just like, you know, what is it, you know. You know, y'all know what I mean when I say the topper. He's always trying to top you. You know, you make a good point. Well, I got a better point. And then after that better point, well, I got another better point. And then that's what we get. So that's what some of those discussions are. And I'm sorry, but there's no one-upping in the ministry of Jesus Christ. There's no one-upping. It's just the message. That's what I was speaking yesterday about Ebenezer. It's like, one, our study should be approved unto God. So what's our ministry? I told him, I said, one of my favorite sermons and favorite subjects in the Bible is just the finished work of Jesus Christ. If I'm going to go talk about something, if I'm going to go talk to one of my coworkers or my friends about the work of Jesus Christ, I'm going to talk about the finished work of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to try to blow their mind with all these words and phrases and stuff that I don't even know what they mean. Talk about what you know. You know what you know? You know what God wrote on your heart, don't you? And you know what He wrote on your heart? The finished work of Jesus Christ. So preach that. That's how our study should be. And that's how we become more spiritually minded. And we have to be careful. You know, I think for the last 5 years, there's probably not many sermons that I have spoken before this congregation and any other congregation that somewhere along the line that I did not focus on the seriousness of really focusing on what's on your mind. There's not many sermons out, because to me, it's too, the subject is too much in the Bible. Go over to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. How do we do? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you make your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then be ye therefore transformed. Don't conform yourself to the world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Renew your mind. Think on these things. Apostle Paul, all the time he's talking about, think on these things. And when you think on these things, do these things. You can't do them if they're not on your mind. So how can you please God if they're not on your mind? You're saying, you know, sorry, baby, I'm about to do this. Because she catches me doing it, and I catch her doing it. We do this to ourselves all the time. And I'll say, baby, why didn't you do such and such? Or she, why didn't I do such and such? I'm calling us both out. That's what I'm going to do, okay? Well, I wasn't thinking about it. You are, next time you say that phrase, I wasn't thinking about it. We say it all the time. Why didn't you get such and such at the grocery? Well, I wasn't thinking about it. Why didn't you do such? Why didn't you clean the house? Or why didn't you, you know, pick up the kids? Or why didn't you bathe them? I wasn't thinking about it. Why didn't you come to church on Sunday morning? Well, I wasn't thinking about it. Why didn't you come with a song in your heart? Well, I wasn't thinking really that I had a song in my heart. Why not? What are you thinking about? It's really my question. What are you thinking about? On your commute to work in the morning, or you commute home or whatever, what are you thinking about? When you're at work and you're working and you got some downtime, what are you thinking about? To be spiritually minded. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And that's how we study to show ourselves approved unto God, is we got to be spiritually minded. Yep. Amen. If we're not spiritually minded, our study is not going to be on things that are approved unto God. Spiritually minded. And you're saying, probably thinking, well, Brother Derek, I wish you'd be a little more spiritually minded. Hey, I wish I would too. I'm working on it. And I'll work on it to the day I die. And one of the last things I want to get to is, you know, I've spoken this verse. I can quote it to you now. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him. Sometimes our study has to, we have to step out sometimes on faith. We have to mix the faith of God with the word that is preached. The Bible tells us these things. And the reason those people in Hebrews chapter 4, the reason they could never enter into the rest of God is because they did not mix their faith with the word that is being preached to them. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It's impossible. You've got to study and strengthen your faith. Why is it so important? Because the Bible over, we've already heard the sermon here at Zion's Rest a couple weeks ago on 2 Peter chapter 2, where he tells us that all these things we need to be adding to our faith. And ultimately, in verse 10 there of 2 Peter chapter 1, it says that if you do these things and abound in these things, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful. And he says the whole thing that you're trying to do is you're trying to guard yourself against becoming blind in this present world. Yep. We have to step out on faith. Sometimes we have to use our faith, and when we use our faith, it's pleasing unto Him. You know, I think a minister who preaches a sermon, who diligently studies the Word of God, and he gets up here to preach it, I mean, to some degree, the preacher has to admit that every time he steps into the pulpit to deliver a message, he's stepping out on faith. Why? Why is he stepping out on faith? Well, he's stepping out on faith, hoping, one, that the Lord's going to bless him. Two, he wants the Lord to bless the people to hear it. And even if he doesn't bless the man that's preaching it, Yeah, I'm sure he's stepping out on faith. Lord, just please bless the congregation to hear my feeble attempts.
Amen.
It has to, we all we have to step out every once in a while on faith. And it's pleasing to him when we do these things. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. I want to read you a proverb. In Proverbs, if I can find Proverbs, chapter 16 and verse 7, says something like this. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. When a man's ways please the Lord, he can make even his enemies be at peace with him. I'm telling you, I don't know about you guys, but I got a lot of enemies. We got one big enemy out there, and we refer to it often as the world. And we've already heard a little bit about it today. But if we continually seek to please the Lord in all of our ways, he says he can make even our enemies be at peace with us. I like that.
Amen.
Seek to please the Lord. You know, too often times, you know, I apologize today if y'all didn't think I'm dressed well enough to be here on Sunday morning. We woke up in a rush this morning. But you know what? I hope that my dress and my countenance has nothing to do with whether or not I can preach God's word. If the air conditioning was broken and we were all outside or we were all freezing or all burning up, I hope that would have no effect on whether or not the word of God's preached. Because, you know, all these things that we have, the lights, the air conditioning, the paint on the walls, the carpet, the nice pews, it's all pleasing to us. Okay? Those are all carnal and fleshly things. It has nothing to do with the word that is preached. It is nice, though. I will admit that. You know, it is nice. It's not like Africa, right? That's not like Africa. And then if we turn over to the last place I want to go to this afternoon is in 2 Timothy. Back to where we were. 2 Timothy in chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, he tells us here that we need to, again, focusing on this, transforming our mind to make sure that our study is appropriate and approved unto God. He says in verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a good soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If we want to please him, we're going to have to endure hardness. We're going to have to strive lawfully. We have to, again, as that verse that I mentioned in Romans chapter 12, we have to transform and renew our minds to a degree that gets us away from this studying to be approved unto men. And you're saying, Brother Derek, you're coming to a conclusion here. What are you talking about? This is going to be hard, not for y'all to hear. But sometimes it's a little hard for us to admit. A lot of our churches in times past, the reason they have died out and gone away, or they closed the doors, and maybe they have one member left, but the reason they closed up is because they preached the same sermon every Sunday, or preached a variation of the same sermon every Sunday, because the people enjoyed just listening to the grace of God preached. And you're saying, well, Derek, we need to preach the grace of God. You're absolutely right. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to read you a good scripture to go along with this. Hebrews chapter 6. If I can find it. Verse 3. I'm going to have to read it all. Verse 1 through 3. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. This will we do if God permit. Okay? The reason I wanted to bring that up, or bring that verse out, is because the Bible does tell us that we do need to preach those subjects if God permits us to do so. If God permits us to do those things, then we need to do that. But there are times that we're going to have to move on a little bit. Our study needs to be, we need to move on into that perfection, because that is approved, that is pleasing to God to move on, to strive. I don't know how many places in the Bible we can find. We're going to find one next week at the close of 2 Peter chapter 3, where it says you got to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do, that's what He's called us to do. That's pleasing to God. Not sitting on the same subject or on the same set of scriptures year after year after year. We've got to move on. You know, I'm going to go ahead and say this, because brother, you've already mentioned that Brother Adam, you'd like to have him as an assistant pastor. That's wonderful. And I think that'd be a great thing for this church. And one of the things that I got to thinking about is, you know, if a church has multiple ministers, you know, one of the ministers can be really focused on feeding the flock of Jesus Christ on Sunday morning and moving on to some of those mastery things. But if a new family comes in, or some babes in Christ come in, maybe you can bring them off on the side and talk to them during the week a few times and talk to them about the doctrines, and not have to, well, okay, we got a new family come in, so now I've got to stop all this duty preaching, and now for the next year we're going to preach on grace so they understand it again. Do you see kind of where I'm going with this? You know, there's a lot of work that can be done. There's a lot of work that can be done, and it can be done that's pleasing unto God and approved unto God, but we're going to have to step out there a little bit even on faith. And I guarantee you it's going to be pleasing to Him if we do so. But we're going to have to make those steps, because our study has got to be approved unto God. And too many times we fall back, and our preaching gets back to pleasing men, pleasing the flesh. But we've been called to so much more. I guess, in my mind, and one of the things that I guess I feel like part of my ministry and what I feel like my calling is to really encourage and to push us that growth. I really want us to push that growth, because I guess maybe in part of my life, I was pushed. I was challenged to think outside the box. I was challenged to move on and to grow in ways. And it took me remembering some things. It took me really reading God's Word, and not just reading over some things and forgetting about it. No, reading and comprehending. My parents will tell you that growing up, they thought I'd never go to college because my reading comprehension was awful. I couldn't read anything and retain it. I couldn't. But I kept getting pushed. I kept getting pushed. I kept getting pushed. Pushed so much to where I just, I almost couldn't take it anymore. But you know what? I started comprehending eventually. I started registering. I started remembering my study. You know what? You want to know one of the best things that will be approved unto God is when you study His Word and you actually remember it. And then once you remember it, then you can actually, as Hebrews chapter 5 tells us, once we remember it, we actually can use it and discern both good and evil, and be able to recognize some things in this world, and recognize when evil's at our doorstep, or when the grace of God is at our doorstep. And then when we're praying, we can recognize when God's blessing us and when He's not blessing us. I tell you, one of the greatest things that I would love to know each and every time I pray is the moment when God blesses and hears my prayers. Recognize it. Even, people say, I've been praying for months. What's that old story about the guy who's on the island? He's been praying to get off, and somebody came by, there was a boat, and then somebody came by, there was a canoe, and all these ways to get off the island. He's like, but he's still just sitting there waiting on the Lord to do some miracle. Well, sometimes the blessings of God are the simplest little things right in front of our very eyes. It doesn't have to be the miracle. Our study has to be approved unto God and pleasing to God in such a way that it produces growth. Growth. I want us to grow. I want the people, I want the young people, I want kids like Samuel. I want him to be smarter in God's Word by the age of 18 than I was. I wasn't very smart in God's word. It was after 18 for me. I want them to have more knowledge than I did. I'd love for them to be able to quote twice as many verses probably by the age of 10 or 11. We have to grow in such a way that we make our life, our duty, our warfare, each and every step of this life as a good soldier, singly focused on Jesus Christ to please Him. You know, and I'm convinced, as long as the minister of God and God's people, I mean, we're all kings and priests, and we all have a ministry of some sort. Maybe not minister in the sense of pastor and teaching in that manner. But you're going to fail. You're going to have ups and you're going to have downs. But as long as you're seeking to please God, you will never fail. It may hurt because there's going to be hardness out there that we're going to have to endure. But as long as you're seeking to please God, as long as your study is focused on Him, I promise you, you can come through it. The Apostle Paul endured a shipwreck, beaten with many stripes. I can't really think of the number off the top of my head. Snake bitten. We think about everything else that many of the other apostles endured. You know what? We shouldn't be so shocked, because their ministry that they had then is the same ministry we have today, and that is to please God and preach His word. And our studying should be such that it reflects that. May the Lord bless you is my prayer. This will be the last series on study for now. I probably got a lot of other things that I'd like to think about and do. Y'all pray for me as I continue that. Thank y'all.